I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Cool Friends. I'm so excited. We have Dr. Tim Scott. Well, Wendy, you can tell all of them what exactly he does and what he's about before we dive into anything. But I'm just so excited to hear what he has to say.
Yes. So. I mean, I still consider you my nephew, of course. We have to put that in there. I've known Tim before he was born. He has always been so intelligent, and now he's Dr. Timothy Scott. He is you're the owner or CEO of Rixa Health?
Well, yeah, thank you so much for this introduction. That's wonderful. Yeah, so a few of us started it. There's four partners, and my wife, Mia, of course, is one of the partners. But yeah, we came together and we started this Rixa Health, this telemedicine company. Quick background, I am board certified in emergency medicine, and I was sort of brought up, so to speak, in my medical career in the traditional Western medicine system. And I think it's interesting to note how much you sort of get indoctrinated in that you don't realize that there's a whole nother world outside of it until you start to explore and meet other people. And for me, my wife is who really opened me up to the fact that there's a lot of other ways to go about taking care of people and doing things than what we're used to. So Rixa Health, it's a telemedicine company, and we kind of started with a lot of weight management, but we really are a metabolic health company, and we can talk about that more.
Yeah. Describe what that means.
So cool. So I tell patients when they book with me now, they might come to us for weight management, but I say weight management is going to be a side effect of lifestyle and dietary changes. What I'm really focused on is your metabolic health, and what that breaks down to is health at a cellular level. So it all starts with your diet. The food that you eat can be medicine or poison, and we really try to teach you to recognize the poisons in the standard American diet, the SAD, as we call it, and how we can turn that food into medicine, how we can start to heal your gut lining. Now, all of a sudden, once you start to heal the gut, and you're feeding your body, the nutrient-dense, whole, non-processed foods that it wants, now it affects you at the cellular level. So when you start to think about mitochondria, which are the powerhouse in your cell, giving those the tools that they need to burn fat to produce energy, giving your liver the tools that it needs to detoxify your body, the kidney the tools it needs to detoxify. Now you can start to look at that past those organs and into organ systems, your endocrine system. Now we can start to produce hormones better. We can start to excrete, the bad stuff. And now your body comes back into homeostasis. So to me, I'm sure there's a real definition, but that's metabolic health.
Mm-hmm. I need that.
We all
so
need
bad.
That. I think America... When it comes to different countries, are there countries that are ahead of us with this?
Definitely. I mean, just when you look at simple stats, United States of America spends approximately $6.3 trillion on healthcare. We're, somewhere around number 50 globally for, I guess it's outcomes, however you want to look at that. But I look at it in terms of, quality of life, length of time, you're active, healthy, doing what you love, obesity rates, autoimmune disease rates, and disability, permanent disability rates. Mm-hmm, and we're just not great at those.
No, and I was listening to your last podcast about the dyes. So tell us where we're at with that. So is the government, when does that go into effect?
Yeah, so they have two were banned immediately, and I believe there's six more, the main ones that you're used to with your reds and yellows. Those are going to be banned by, it's 2026.
Yeah.
I think it's the end of 2026 somewhere. Yeah. But anyway, what they want is the food companies to transition all of those out for more natural alternatives. Obviously, this has been being advocated, a growing movement over the last couple of decades. The voice, I think, gets louder and louder. And then, with the recent administration and what they're doing, it's the last 4 months have been a whirlwind in terms of health. Mm-hmm. And from my viewpoint, it's really cool what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So does that mean my favorite candy is the Nerds?
No, they can still make it. They just have to make it with different, like beets and turmeric and turmeric, however you say it.
Yeah.
But, different,
Yeah, so what people don't realize is a lot of the dyes are, basically petroleum-based. So they come from oil products, and that's where the argument is that they're harmful, right? Like, we're not really meant to consume oil as humans. Mm-hmm. So
and what about beetle blood.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice. No, the red 40 is made from the blood of beetles. Correct?
Yeah. And I have to think that if it was just like this natural, pretty beetle in nature and we took a component of it, it'd probably be okay. But the process, you know, in which you get it to the form you can eat it, I think is kind of what ruins it along the way.
Right.
You know, when you add hexane and then you dry it and purify, you know, and all these things, that's where you generally run into trouble. I think it's a huge win. I don't think anyone can get on here and rational people generally do say, like, there's definitely has to be some association. We can't say straight causation. When you start to look at the rates of neurodegenerative disorders, autoimmune diseases, major disease epidemics since about the late 1980s, there's a lot of things you can correlate it to. And one of them is for sure the food industry. The change from, you know, sort of meat-based food to these carb-based foods in the 1990s is a big portion of that. And now when you get away from meats and whole foods and into carbs and processed foods, that's where you start to run into the seed oils and the dyes. And then another class of things we should definitely talk about, which are additive chemicals. Mm-hmm. And of course, I don't know, are you guys familiar with the term GRAS, G-R-A-S?
No.
So that's probably the next big thing that's going to be tackled by this administration. So when you look at the back of a food product, right, you're going to see these different chemicals, mono, sodium, hexane, you know, whatever they are, the things you can't pronounce. And in the United States, we allow 10,000 plus chemicals in our food, and they fall under this category called generally recognized as safe. Well, the way that works is if I'm a food company, I take this chemical, I do whatever testing I want to do in-house and claim to do in-house, and then I present that to the FDA and say, look, it's safe. And then the FDA says, thank you for doing the work, it's safe. And the FDA doesn't look into it, doesn't test it on their own.
Yeah.
They don't take this chemical and test it next to any of the other chemicals. They don't do long-term testing. So we have 10,000 plus food chemicals, you know, that we've just been eating as well. So I don't think that I could ever look at it and say it's all red dye. You know, I don't think I could ever say it's all this chemical or, you know, any other thing that would.
But I think that a lot of people, like when they give their kid candy and they're like, oh, he's on a sugar high. It's not the sugar. It's the dyes that accelerate the brain. Correct?
I think it's both, but
that,
I agree.
You know, but yeah, it's just. And then the dyes also contribute to harming different organs, correct?
Yeah. So just think of something in your system that shouldn't be in your system. And now it's going to start to deposit maybe in your liver, in your kidney, in your fat cells, or most importantly, in your brain. And I like to think of everything, you know, we talk about this in functional medicine, but there was an interesting New York Times article in the early 2000s. And it says, you don't have cancer, you don't have heart attacks, you don't have strokes, you have inflammation. And everything sort of goes back to inflammation as the root cause. So when you start to think of some of the neurodegenerative disorders like autism, ADHD, you know, is neuroexcitation, dementia and things like that, you can trace that back to inflammation. Same with heart attacks, same with strokes. So you take this petroleum, which is inflammatory to the body. Maybe it deposits in the brain, aggravates that little area. Over time, you get deposits in multiple other areas. You know, just think how that cumulative effect, add that in with too much sugar, with these chemicals that we have no idea what they're doing. And at the end of the day, we call it toxic sludge.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to get rid of their inflammation, is there any one thing that you can say, this would be great to start with, get rid of XYZ?
Absolutely.
To reduce your inflammation.
Yeah, processed food. That's the first place I have everybody start when they come for weight loss, metabolic health, hormone help, everything, processed food. And I think if you can, and I try to make dieting, I did air quotes, dieting as simple as I can. Don't think of it as a diet. This is not, don't starve yourself. Don't drop all the things you love. Let's gradually move towards a more raw diet. Whole food, single ingredient foods, unprocessed foods, the periphery of the grocery store. If you simply do that, you don't have to know, you know, am I paleo? Am I Atkins? Am I keto? Am I doing this? Counting my, you know, the best place to start is just whole unprocessed food.
Right. Mm-hmm. Another way you can probably look at it is when you're at the grocery store reading ingredients is if it's not in your kitchen, don't eat it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? We do that one. We've also said if your great grandmother wouldn't recognize it, don't eat it. And when you are like, because listen, we have four kids. It's not like I don't eat a processed food. We have processed foods in our pantry. It's just that now we try to be smarter about the choices we do make. I do look at ingredients. I use apps like Yucca, Bobby Approved, you know, to scan. You can scan the barcode on everything at a store. It will tell you, it will actually rate products like a score of 0 to 100. It will tell you things that are in it that may be linked to cancer, neurodegenerative disorders, things like that. So anyway, I try to be smarter. And the first thing I do when I'm looking at a label is essentially I'm looking for 7 ingredients or less. Mm-hmm. Unless like every ingredient is organic apple, organic carrot, you know, okay, then I can do 20 of those. But I want it to be 7 ingredients or less. And if I cannot pronounce it, put it back.
Yeah. Nice.
That's a great way to start.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's not easy.
No, it's not. Do you think it's have you had people commenting that it's expensive to do? Yeah, that's probably the one, I don't know, downfall
the,
or
the two things, you know, I always say, listen, Rome wasn't built in a day. I always share our experience. It took probably 5 years for our pantry to get where it's at, and it's still not perfect. I will occasionally grab things and I get yelled at. Like the other day, I went to Costco. I'm training and I'm carb loading, and it wanted me to make my protein shakes with oat milk. I generally just use purified water. So I saw USDA organic oat milk at Costco and I didn't look at the ingredients. I got home, I look at my wife's like, why did you buy this? It's got canola oil, soybean. There was 3 different types of seed oils in this organic oat milk. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you like you have to be careful. I feel like I'm pretty darn good. We just did a whole podcast on food labels and I missed it. You know,
so. I feel like it's almost like alcoholism.
Well, the word organic is tricky. It feels like, you know, like you said, you know, it says organic. Okay, let's grab it.
Well, I was to the point where when my kids were little that the whole house was, you know, in fact, one of my friends called and she says, I bet you do have something in your house with dyes in it and you don't even know. And I'm like, what? And she said, pickles. And I'm like, holy cow. It's such a process. Mm-hmm. But when people would say that to me, I would just, when it was expensive, I would say, well, what's dealing with the cost now or the cost of your medical later. Bills when you're sick?
100%.
But then I feel like you get lazy and you kind of fall off the wagon and you're like, oh, just a little bit won't hurt. It's just a little bit. Well, then you just screw up all the way around. That's what I like to say. I did.
It's a work and, in know, progress. And,
yeah,
sure.
But then once you screw it up, like I did, then you have to start like kind of all over again. But it's nice when you have the knowledge because a lot of people don't know.
Exactly.
They don't know that we're not supposed to drink cow's milk. They don't know that dairy's not really good for you.
Right. And, you know, they also don't understand how to interpret, you know, their body. So this, before we, because I can venture off into conversations all day, and you just made me think of, you know, a really cool topic called epigenetics. But just the second point, because Wendy had asked about price, and I do have people ask about price a lot. And I really encourage you when you're shopping to start to look for, like, let's say there's a product and maybe you listen to us and you have this Yucca app or Bobby Approved and you scan something. Scan, you know, an organic one or a better one and look at the price compared to what you had been buying. Many times it's very similar in price. You know, we do all of our shopping at Kroger, Costco, and a little bit at Aldi. I would say Costco is probably more expensive, you know, in the long run. But we get a lot at Kroger, and the prices have definitely come down on some of the organic stuff and the more natural things. And the other thing that people don't take into consideration, and this doesn't happen day one, but over time, as you change your diet and you're eating these fresh, whole, unprocessed foods, we are 90% the bacteria in our gut. It's called your microbiome. And that's what actually eats. You know, we don't eat, our bacteria eat. And what you feed it is what's going to grow. So if you feed it McDonald's and
my bacteria grew a lot in the last 4 years.
Stop.
I'm going to talk to it. Bacteria, stop it. I'll stop eating.
But you can do that. You talk to it through what you put in it. And so when you're feeding it that, that's what grows. Now, when you switch over and you change your diet, those bacteria die off, different bacteria grow, and truly your cravings change, your appetite change, because they tell you what they want to eat. And if it's a bacteria that feeds off of lettuce and apples, that's what it wants to eat. And I share this story all the time, and this is no exaggeration. I would pick an apple with peanut butter and raisins on it over a Snickers bar 100% of the time, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. You know? I agree.
And it's just amazing. And my point to that, I'm sorry, was that you actually will consume quite a bit less. And there's science behind that, because these seed oils, they're high in omega-6s. And all food, I keep saying seed oils, but almost all processed food has these oils. Look on the back of a bag, vegetable oil, soybean oil, corn oil, canola, all of it. They put it in there as fillers and preservatives, and it alters your brain chemistry. There's a hormone called leptin, which tells you when you're full. These seed oils inhibit leptin, you know, and so you lose these satiety signals and you get hungrier earlier and quicker. So I know it's like hard to think about it over time, but if you do if you compare the prices, they're not as far off as you might think. And then you actually buy and consume less food.
There you go.
And it tastes without sugar and carbs. I wanted to reverse my A1C. And so I went over a year, and you don't crave it. And the minute you taste something that is a little sweet, you're like, oh. But then
it creeps.
Then I got bad again.
It creeps. It does.
And there's so, that's why I enjoyed your other podcast.
Well, I hate emergency medicine for the fact that people bring donuts all the time. And I just, apple fritters are like a trigger food. Like my grandmother, I was very close to, she loved apple fritters. I remember walking to Tom's Donuts and having apple fritters and the smell of nicotine and cigarettes in the air. You know,
it's yes.
The good old days.
100%. Good old days, right?
Right. Uh-huh. But it's like a trigger. I always want to eat apple fritters.
And I always want to smoke, but I don't. It's okay.
You know, I'll share this. I think it's funny. I've smoked one cigarette in my life, and I was actually in medical school. I made it that far. And I went with some friends to Tennessee, and, you know, we were going to a Metallica concert, and I had way too many beers. And this guy was standing there, and he says, "Do you want to smoke?" And I said, "Yeah, I want a cigarette." You know, and I lit it up, and I started gagging and vomiting. And my friends are like, "Hey, you're done with cigarettes, dude."
That's good, though, that happened, because that did not quite happen to me. So,
do you have any like wellness myths that we should that are in your head, that things that we believe to be true that aren't?
Oh my gosh!
Don't, I mean, me, okay, no, keep it to four.
Okay, yeah, sorry. No.
Everything.
Okay,
I told like, his brain is like pyramid. A sponge.
Yeah, just get me going here. Okay, here's a big one, and because you were kind of mentioning this, and I'll just touch on this. So, your genes are not your destiny is something that I tell people a lot. Like we think, oh, I'm born with it. You know, maybe obesity runs in my family or whatever it may be. And everybody gets a set of genes. And those, we know now that those genes can be turned on or off based on environment. So maybe you have these good genes and maybe you have these bad genes. And if you make good life decisions, your good genes stay turned on and your bad genes stay turned off. And if you don't make all the best decisions, you know, the opposite can occur. So one thing, and without, you know, diving into this too crazy, one thing I would say is remember that you do have some control of your genetics, you know, not 100%. There's certainly some things you're not going to control, but the decisions you make now in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s are certainly going to affect the way you feel and the way you live in your 50s, your 60s, and your 70s. And you do have control, and it all starts at your diet. So that's myth one, mm-hmm. without getting
Love
too
it.
Deep. Mm-hmm. And I would say another one might be cholesterol. I spend a lot of time talking mm-hmm. about cholesterol. And I just want people to understand that cholesterol is important. It is in every cell of your body. It's involved in all the hormones that you make. You need it for brain health, muscle, gut. I mean, everything, cholesterol is involved. So don't always think of cholesterol as the bad guy. Think of, I tell people, think of your body and, you know, the organs, the cells, everything as a forest. And all these different markers, cholesterols, fats, all these genes you hear about, right? These are all trees. How many green trees do you have in your forest? That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for one brown tree called cholesterol. I'm looking for all the other trees around it. And then cholesterol can be an influence and you have to look at it a little bit closer. But don't get super focused on cholesterol and obsessed with statins and this and that. It's like, let's look at your whole metabolic health. Mm-hmm. And again, without getting in the weeds, because you know we could do an hour mm-hmm. podcast
on that.
But
I have a question. So you went to medical school. What did something happen that do you still practice some of Western medicine and the alternative medicine, or did something happen where you said, wait a minute, this is not right. Let's look at this. Like you had mentioned that your wife helped you see a different route of things. What was it that the light bulb went on and you said, people can actually really heal themselves from XYZ.
Yeah, I think I realized if I didn't get on board with it, I was going to be divorced.
It's as simple as
yeah.
that. Mia is a rock star.
But no, truthfully, that's what happened. And I think we're both fortunate. My wife says this. A lot of people in functional medicine, integrative medicine, things like that, came to that because they were, or a close family member was diagnosed with some sort of illness that traditional medicine couldn't help. And then they kind of see this light. And we just kind of, she stumbled into it, you know, through just life choices, podcasts, whatnot. And she became a believer. And then, you know, she told me, you need to check it out. And I think I was the same way. She did not force it upon me or anything, but watching her live that lifestyle, talk about these things, you kind of like can't help but, I'm like, wait, what'd you say about that again? You know, like, oh, wait, right. What was that podcast you were listening to? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, eventually you're like in it and in the weeds too.
Yeah.
And it's funny because she's a couple years ahead of me in that lifestyle. And I remember, you know, like her sitting in bed, listening to these different podcasts and lectures that I'm now in a couple years later. And I remember at the time, you know, I'm watching my show and thinking, it'd be great if I could learn some of that, but I just don't have time, you know? And then eventually you just can't avoid it. You're like, I have to learn
this.
Right,
right. Yeah.
It's really cool.
It is. Yeah. What do you see the future for Rixa Health? What's coming up? Anything new? Or I mean, every day is something new with.
Yeah, I would really like to continue to evolve into a functional medicine practice. So as we mentioned, I am in it's a 2-year program to get an official certification for functional medicine. It doesn't have its own board yet. I think they're working on that, so you can be board certified in functional medicine. But I definitely want to integrate that. We have a waiting list for our functional medicine practice. My wife's sort of taking cases individually, and I'm just about to the point where I'm ready to start doing that. But I would like it to evolve into a whole functional medicine practice. And you asked if I still do traditional Western medicine, and the answer is yes. And I really try to blend those the best I can in emergency medicine. So one thing I'll say about our system is we knock the preventive and the chronic care quite a bit. And I do think that's where we fail miserably. What we do well is acute care. When you do get sick, if you get in a car accident, if you have a heart attack, mm-hmm. if your appendix bursts, we do that very well. So in emergency medicine, when I deal with emergencies, I'm definitely very traditional Western medicine, and I think we do that well. Although emergency medicine is like 80% non-emergencies nowadays. So that's where I try to still incorporate what I'm doing. And I will tell you, I have been absolutely blown away within the past year when I've started having conversations with people. I sort of incorporate, like I'll talk about supplements. I might mention to someone, oh, are you on magnesium? Or maybe you should try turmeric for inflammation. The responses I've got with people and the knowledge has blown me away. Like there's people out there are kind of in tune to what's going on, and people I would have never expected it. Elderly people, young people. So this is not just, you know, a few people anymore. Like right. The world knows about it. And what is also sad to me is the amount of people, and I'll see this in cancer patients because I talk to those a lot in the ER, and I ask them, you know, if they're just doing standard things like, are you eating some apricot seeds? Have you heard of soursop tea? You know, just some little things that have been shown to maybe help treat cancer. And they'll like, their eyes will light up and they'll tell me, oh my God, a doctor's never said this to me. I've been so scared to talk about these things I've read, you know, and I can serve as, you know, I had one lady cry and just say, you gave me hope. You know, just listening to her talk mm-hmm. about alternatives.
Right.
So it's really been cool to see that people out there are aware.
Yeah, it always got me really upset when a doctor says to a cancer patient, like, we've done everything we can do and you only have 6 months to live. My good friend is very into all of this and has been for eons, and had a gentleman that they told that to, mm-hmm. and she helped him heal his body cancer-free. And it's when you hear testimonial after, like, you see it every day in your patients or whatnot, it's so, you want to just shout and tell everybody, like, you guys, listen, you know?
I especially want to say, like, at least educate yourself, understand there's other things. And I'm not saying don't ignore your oncologist, don't stop chemo or whatever is important to you or you guys, your plan, but just read, look into it, see if there's something that may benefit mm-hmm. you or, you know, and there are natural, like you said, natural oncologists who, you know, run successful practices, and not every cancer is a death sentence. And probably one of the biggest things I think we miss in oncology is when it is a curable cancer and, you know, people undergo the standard American treatment, and then they hit this day where the oncologist says, you're cured, your cancer's gone. I wish we could put a hard stop in there and say, uh-uh, it does not work like that.
Right.
Your diet, your lifestyle, the choices you make here on out will determine, you know, will.
Right. And it can still mm-hmm. come back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad went totally alternative with stage 3 invasive bladder cancer, and the oncologist said, oh my gosh, I don't understand what happened. And of course, my friend says, well, that's because he never saw a bladder heal itself naturally. But then he never went back and it came back.
Yeah.
You know, so it can come back, but, you know, he didn't continue doing what you did to get
keep
rid of it.
Work,
you know,
yeah.
you have to, yeah.
Lifestyle. Lifestyle is huge.
Yeah.
One of the number one, you know, causes of the non-genetic form of breast cancer is alcohol. And I feel like there's just not enough conversation around that with women. Like, it should be like, hey, you had breast cancer, you've been treated for it. You should seriously consider removing alcohol completely from your diet. And I just don't know that that happens. And then the other thing, of course, we know what feeds cancer, sugar. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we hand you at your chemo appointment? Donuts and you know, it's just that always.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
I used to get so mad. And you know how tactful I am at things. So I made a lot of enemies along the way of my natural healing. Because I would be like, what are you doing that for? You know, it's like,
And that kind of actually even plays into another, you know, cool thing in medicine and that we're doing at Rixa and peptide therapy, you know, where we harness things that are known in the body. Peptides are these little, you know, protein sequences, and they can turn into signaling molecules that turn genes on and off. Insulin is a peptide. You know, everyone's familiar with insulin. And these peptide therapies are really cool because you can tell parts of your body, like, for example, growth hormone. Growth hormone is, you know, powerful for skeletal muscle, for immune system, and it sort of falls off after you hit 30. It's just a steady decline over the next however many years of your life. And there's peptides out there that can basically work within your own body and say, hey, brain, remember when we were 20 and we used to make a lot more growth hormone? Let's do that again. And your body will respond to its own ability. So you can't overdose it. Your body won't overdo it. You know, some people might get minimal response.
I have
some
no peptides might. Left.
Yeah,
exactly. That's not true.
So, something is wrong.
You need to go to Rick's Health.
I am going
After
to.
This, you set an appointment.
It's just cool what's yeah. out there, what's yeah, happening. Yeah. And I wish some of these things wouldn't just necessarily get pushed to the side mm-hmm. by mainstream media and traditional mm-hmm. culture, because there's a lot of good.
Mm-hmm. There is. You know, the first podcast, your first podcast about the smoking companies that owned, that one was mind-blowing to me.
That's the one I listened to.
And I know we can't go down that rabbit hole
too
big, but touch on that real quick.
Yeah. We did this podcast just kind of talking about how the food pyramid came about. And it's such an interesting history because it's like in the late 70s, Philip Morris company and some other tobacco companies realized, like, we're not going to be able to hide the dangers of smoking much longer. Like, this is going to be a thing. And so they said, all right, well, what's the next big thing? Let's just take over food. And so what they really did was, and this is true. They assembled teams of scientists and said, take the addictive power of nicotine in cigarettes and translate that to food. And let's go from there. And that's where really this processed food industry started. All these additives that genuinely keep you addicted. And, you know, seed oils is an example. Some of the chemicals that are generally recognized.
Well, even sugar. When you go without it for so long, you don't even crave it. But then you start that one little cheat.
Well, and why do you think,
you know,
there's a reason that fructose is used in so many things and high fructose corn syrup, right? Like, glucose is your body's the more natural sugar. And I'm not saying you should just eat a bunch of glucose, but your brain feeds on glucose. There's really no true use for fructose in your body, but it is, like, I forget the number, 1,000 times more addictive and sweeter to your brain than glucose. So it's all a... You know, it was a very carefully organized industry.
Mm-hmm. Can you touch briefly, I know we're almost out of time, or we are out of time, but it's okay, on aspartame?
Yeah. So, I mean, I tried to avoid all fake sugars in general, sugar alcohols and all of those. So it's sort of that same thing that I mentioned with fructose. Aspartame is sweeter. It does bind. It has more affinity to receptors, and it does make you crave it more than natural sugar like glucose or raw cane sugar. So there are plenty of studies. It's not even a question anymore that shows aspartame will in the long run make you more obese or gain more weight than if you just had regular sugar because of those exact properties. And then when you add that to caramel coloring and any other and in a plastic bottle and mm-hmm. things, that's why I just stay away from all diet sodas and stuff. If I ever want to treat, I just actually admitted to this recently. I haven't had a Coca-Cola in a really long time, but I was at the store and they had an orange vanilla Coca-Cola a couple weeks ago, and I bought it. Mm-hmm. And I tasted it. Honestly, it was gross, but it was good. but if you're gonna, like, if you have to fill that sweet tooth mm-hmm. once in a while, I just recommend just have the actual product. It's probably better than the diet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're gonna ask him our popular
question?
Our famous question.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Timothy Scott, I just love that. It sounds so important. Not that it's not. I mean, you know, anyway, we ask this question to, because we're called Hot Topics Cool Friends. So we would like to know why you are our cool friend.
Well, I love that question. I've heard you guys ask it before.
See, he did his homework.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew he would.
Of course he did. He's hello.
So I really enjoy being a part of this community. I grew up in Toledo. I went away for med school and residency, and I've been back for almost a decade. The lifelong friendships, the people I know on all ends of the town, couple that with this desire to be different. I don't want to fit into the mold of standard traditional medicine. I don't want to follow the algorithms. I want to be noticed and help people in a good way. You know, I don't want it to lead to animosity or problems. You know, I don't want to be blackballed from traditional medicine. So I try to incorporate everything I can. But I think I really do try to challenge that along with my wife and our company. And I think that is probably where we can hopefully make our mark and be considered cool. We're hometown. I hope we can be an asset to this community. And I hope we can really help to inspire change if people can get behind me like, hey, this guy's one of us. He's from here. You know, I know him from when he was a kid. Then hopefully they tell their friends and then we can all sort of make a movement together. I think that's better than if you're watching a doctor in California tell you some of these things.
Awesome. Wow. I think that's
that
the best
might be
cool
the best
answer
we've
ever.
I knew he'd research it though. Yeah. He can't help it.
Thank you so much for coming on and thank you for all your knowledge and sharing it.
Well, listen, will you come back? Because you wait to meet Mia. So Mia, I don't know how to describe her besides her being outstanding. Like, she's so gorgeous, so smart. She's almost like a pioneer woman. Like, she makes her own dining room tables, gets the chicken, gets the eggs. I'm not making this up. This is the truth. Yeah. So we got to bring her back. And
you guys would have fun with her next time. Yeah. We'll get her. Yeah. Yeah. And she, like, when we have a honey do list, I make it for her. Like, babe, can you fix this? This is broke, you know? And then when shopping needs to be done, I have to go do that. And like the little things, I'm like, this sucks. Why can't I build the table?
Yeah. No, we'll have to have both of you back if you'll come back.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
And where should they go to find all the information about Rixa Health?
Yeah, thank you. We are on social media. You can put in Rixa Health. Really cool. I'll mention that real quick. We put a ton of lifestyle content up there. We have videos showing you our pantry, showing the labels. We go shopping at the stores. We take you out on our farm. So check that out, Rixa Health, and then just rixahealth.com.
Awesome.
Thank you
so much, dear.
Thank you.
For joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends, I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer,
and Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to wgte.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.